Great day, amazing human. Welcome to the Empowered in My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans, empower humans. So you are in the right spot to become a lead domino for empowerment today. My name is Inke Chi. I'm not only your host, but I am a vibrant optimist obsessed to bring you empowering content with each episode. We will be bringing you content alternating between longer episodes with featured guests and shorter episodes called Empowering Bites, where I'll be joined by my co-host, Gabby Mamone. So if you're ready, let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the next episode of the Empowered in My Skin podcast. I'm really excited about today's guest. She is the master strategist and affectionately known as the purpose coach for helping amazing humans across the world to gain insight on their core purpose, clarity, consistency, and confidence. She's an author, coach, mother, pastor, speaker, wife, and an entrepreneur who's on a mission to amplify the gospel's relevance, empower individuals to live and lead authentically, and equip leaders to develop purpose-led and spirit-filled lives. Before launching her coaching firm, Nicole worked with organizations serving communities experiencing marginalization for over 20 years. She is a certified life skills and marriage coach with a bachelor's degree in Christian ministry and certifications in adult learning and cognitive behavioral therapy. She's the contributor on the YouVersion Bible app, which is actually where I found her first time. The author of Courage and Confidence, which released April 9, 2024 this year. And the founder and host of the Activate Her Summit, a global movement and event for Christian women. I'm sure you are as excited as I am to learn more about this amazing guest. So please join me in a big, gigantic podcast welcome for Nicole Salmon.
What an introduction. Thank you for having me.
You can take me everywhere in your book tour.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I didn't girl. People are like, where do I buy the book? Awesome. So awesome to have you. So awesome. Thank you so much for saying yes.
Of course.
Yeah. So to get us started, really, really simple question. What was your most empowering thought that you've had of the day so far?
Wow, that's such a great mindfulness moment. Let me think about that. The most empowering thought that I've had for the day. I have it. That if I don't receive difficult feedback, I am robbed of the opportunity to become a better person.
Ooh. If I don't, you are intentionally saying, give me feedback that is going to help me stretch and grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get it?
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
You got it? Okay.
I got it. And I think I've been challenging some of the people around me who struggle with doing that or worry about impacting the relationship so they don't do that. I'm like, hey, listen, I need the opportunity to learn, you know, Jahari's window and kind of see those, you know, around the corner parts of me that aren't so cool that I need to brush up and pull up on. So
you know, it's so funny. I always have said it a different way. I've said, I want you to be comfortable to tell me what they say about me when I'm not in the room. So we'd love to, this is obviously, everyone knows this is obviously not planned because that was your empowering moment, but I actually want to double click because like I'm a leader in a corporate space and, you know, year-end reviews give a lot of people anxiety. And I think on both sides of the front. So would love to talk to you about how could people show up to deliver, you know, sort of critical, like look at it saying that they're going to be gifting this person with feedback to stretch them. So what might have to be true for them to be able to deliver that in a way that would be meaningful? Or like, how do they prepare themselves or have that kind of dialogue and be that open and transparent?
Yeah, I think, and in no particular order, the two things that come to mind for me, and we hear this reference quite a bit now, is learning how to couch the dialogue, right? So like clearing with your words, kind of clearing the air and setting the intention mm-hmm. and the expectation about what's about to leave your person, mm-hmm. you know, like, listen, I'm going to share some things might be hard to hear. Here's the spirit in which I'm saying it. Here's what I'm hoping it will do for you. What language you just used, like, you know, I feel so honored to gift you, right? Mm-hmm. So I think one is couching it. And I think two is, yeah, is having the emotional intelligence and being kind of like cued in with yourself around, do I have any icky pleasure in delivering the not so good parts? Mm-hmm. What is my own story around feedback and criticism and critique? And how might that play into what I share or what I don't share? So, you know, almost evaluating yourself before you even go into the room so that you're positioned to deliver it with the level of grace and responsibility.
That I think it's a big responsibility. Oh, I love that. Yeah, responsibility. Yeah. That is big. Mm-hmm. Woo! I've actually never married that. Like the responsibility about delivering feedback. It is a responsibility. Yes. And it's and therefore, to me, it incites like care, like special care, because this is going to impact or influence this other human being's, you know, potential next step or next behavior or whoever they come in contact with. But, it, you know, so couching and emotional intelligence. The interesting thing is right away I thought about the intersectionalities of the individual that they're going to be delivering at to. Because I think that then plays into what biases might I have.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And then on the other side of the person receiving it, what might be like the top two as well? Preparation steps.
I think understanding it's almost like the reciprocal, right? So kind of going in with the understanding of, and this may not even be completely true, but I was going to say going in with the understanding or the mindset that what is being shared, this person has the best intentions, but that may not be true. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think the better discourse is, you know, going in kind of saying whether or not this person has good intentions towards me, there is something that I can glean from what they're saying. So quick example. I recently wrote a new devotional on the YouVersion Bible app. It's called The Purpose Hack.
Oh, okay.
And it's five ways that we can, you know, find our purpose in everyday life. Mm-hmm. Right. And so day one, right out the gate, the entire 5 days looks at the life of Joseph. Mm-hmm. And for those who, you know, just to provide some context, Joseph is the youngest of his brothers. He's the favorite. And, you know, he starts getting some dreams, some visions about his future as a leader and how powerful he's going to be. His siblings hate it, like repeatedly, like they're like, they hated him all the more. He would tell his vision. They hated him all the more. And they saw him coming, it says in the account. It says his brothers saw him coming afar off. And they were like, oh, here comes Joseph, the dreamer. So the discourse in day one is kind of like, what they thought was an insult was actually insight into who Joseph was.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That is a powerful way to take what was meant to be a weapon against you and weaponize it as a tool to advance you.
Wow.
And so I think if you go in from that posture, like that's such a powerful posture to be like, listen, whether you mean well for me or you don't mean well, whether you want to see me advance in this company or you don't think I deserve to be here, even in the lowest thing you could say to me in this moment or how it's delivered, that there is insight I can glean to move ahead.
Why? That's a tool. Cool. It is. It's a mirror into what I can do, right? Wow, we're 8 minutes in, and I hope everyone took out their notebook already. And I have to check out that Bible app. I'm gonna drop the link in the show notes. So I want to talk about pivotal moments, right? And maybe for our guests, you can help get us like, let's frame this up before I start to get into the book. So what pivotal moments have sort of propelled you to the forefront of like how you really advocate in this world and how you've become the Nicole Salmon that we know today and follow on social media and get inspired and empowered by.
I think that's a great question. And I was asked something similar recently. So it's kind of at the forefront for me. Two things come to mind right away. I think the first, like the earlier core memory that comes up for me is like being in middle school. I remember there was this young lady named Heather and she was just bullied terribly, you know, like she didn't have the nicest clothes, didn't have the best hygiene, like just all kinds of things. And I remember feeling that again, that I felt the conviction, that's the word. I felt this conviction, like she doesn't deserve this kind of treatment. And I want to be a defender of her dignity, right? Like this is middle school, but I remember feeling that deeply. And, you know, people were throwing rocks at her. And mind you, like, you can't tell, but I'm 5'3". Like, I'm an itty bitty.
Okay. I've never actually, I don't think we've seen each other in person. No. We met on virtual. No.
Like, yeah. So like I'm an itty bitty. And I mean, I wasn't even as fluffy back then as I am now. So I was an itty bitty and I've always kind of had a mouth on me. Right. Thank God it's for good now. But I was always kind of like, oh, you want to come for somebody? Like, come for me. Like, why are you picking on somebody who, you know, can't defend themselves? Like, why don't you like come for me kind of a thing. Right. So I think very early I had this disdain for I wasn't a fighter, but I had a disdain for people who would just, for no reason, just target people and tear them down at their identity core, you know? And so I think that was really, you know, like that's a pivotal contributor for me around finding my voice or how I was supposed to say I always had one, but how should Nicole be actually using her voice in the world? Right. Like, trust me, it wasn't always constructive. Right. So I had to learn like, well, what's the power of my voice? And it was around identity. It was about not only guarding people's identity, but equipping, you know, people. And so that's kind of always been the journey. I always say that purpose is kind of this thing where it really doesn't even matter how you're feeling. The moment you place your hand on it, it's almost like,
it fires you up. You can't even,
your posture changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like that superhero moment in a movie where the person doesn't know they have a superpower until like the building starts falling and they cower to kind of protect themselves only to realize, oh shoot, wait, I don't have to cower. I'm strong and I can lift this thing up. Right. And so my voice started to become that. I started to realize that my voice carried weight, that when I spoke, people listened. Mm-hmm. When I spoke, people felt something. Mm-hmm. When I spoke, something shifted. And I think over the years, I've been learning, you know, particularly when I left my 9-to-5 about maybe 7 years ago now, and I started my own coaching firm. About 18 months in is when I realized, I started looking back at content and things I had written. And I realized I was always talking about identity and the power of, you know, I think in your description of the podcast, you talk about helping humans to thrive in who they are. Yeah. And that's like, you know, it's, we try to thrive, but not as who we are. Cause we kind of survey the environment and then we try to figure out what is needed to thrive.
Yeah.
And we are missing the key ingredient, which is us. And so we cannot thrive outside of being we actually are. Yeah. Right. And so I've just been on this radical mission to keep saying it over and over and over again, till as many people who need to hear it and grab a hold of it and come into alignment with their created identity.
Yeah. You know, it's for everyone that's here, to be quite honest, when I started this, when she came on, there's something about your gifting that's very comforting very quickly. You and I have not had, like, I've seen more of you on social media than I have had experiences with you. I know that you did something very personal for me related to Empowered My Skin, and you gifted my platform with your teachings, and it was palatable, right? It was just like that work that you did is still carrying forward. Mm. But when did you recognize that just your mere presence has this ability to, because I think my words to you were like, I said I can go in with what I was feeling without, like, there was no warm up needed. Like, you came on and I was boom right into what's going on. And we haven't spoken for, it's just like, right. So
almost a year.
And I don't know if you know or don't know, but I'm pretty, like, I'm sure you're cognizant because I can see, it's almost like I can see your brain. Like, you're very intentional. Like, your nature is very intentional. Like, you're here. You're here for me. And that's what I felt. And I felt right away, like, I can share. And it wasn't a dump. It was, I knew that you could receive it and that you can give me back with understanding and clarity. And then we prayed, right? And anyway, so all of that to say, like, when did you really lock into that? Was it a collection of things that you just started to realize? Was it a moment that you had?
So to be quite honest, I would say as early as elementary school. I know it sounds wild, but I remember being in like the fourth or fifth grade. This, like, I'm a church baby, right? Okay. So, like, I was having, like, I tell this story quite often. The AM recess was a Bible study for non-believers who might have questions about the faith and just wanted to explore the Bible. I'm talking about grade 4 or 5, right? The lunchtime, people would come. So that's the part. How did I know? I knew because people would come. Like, I just realized, like, people listened.
Yeah.
I don't think I realized it right away. I'm just like, I don't know why these people are listening to me. And then lunchtime, I would preach. I would eat my lunch fast, go out to the playground, stand on the picnic table.
Wow.
You know, in front of the slides, I'd tell everybody to come. Even the lunchroom attendant would come and I would get up there and like hoop and holler preach. Like, I would mimic my version of what the sermon was on Sunday. Yeah. And went to a Pentecostal church. So, you know, the sermon was about repentance.
Yeah.
And then the PM recess was for Christians because, don't ask me why, but at an elementary school level, I was like, we have things that we need to be able to discuss in private that I didn't want those who didn't understand God and faith to hear and be turned away. Like,
that's discernment, man.
In elementary school, but that's what I was doing in elementary school.
So that calling came early.
It came early, and it didn't just come. It wasn't just my peers that were responsive, and held space for my gifts. Yeah. It was also the adults in the room around me too. And I think elementary school.
That's why it's really so embedded in the skin that you're in. I love it. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, you know, can you? I'm going to take you back. There's an episode from your quarter century journey that rendered you momentarily speechless and shrouded in doubt, which is, I think, something that many of our listeners can identify with. And how did you summon the courage to reclaim your confidence and forge ahead?
Wow. So without naming names, you know, I'll use the time to be safe. Mm-hmm. I'll use the time frame you just said, but, you know, had an experience where I was treated really poorly by someone that should have held space and should have been a safe place for me. And I'm telling you, like, that thing really shattered my sense of self. It bled over into my business and how I showed up online and into not showing up. It resulted in, like, questioning, you know, everything that I was doing out of fear of how they might react or interpret, you know, my moves. So it took and is still taking. I'm still repositioning from that. I'm still repositioning from that. And I'm still learning how to, and I go back to foundational stuff. So it's like, okay, well, what did I do to get to the place I was at before I was pulled out of alignment?
Oh, I like that.
And I had to get back to, you know, anchoring my power before I entered a space, whether that was a physical space or online. And what I mean by anchoring my power is I have a set few mantras, if you will, that I say to myself before I enter a space to remind myself of who I am and not what this other person has said about who I am. What do I know to be true about Nicole? What's true about Nicole? And, you know, I remind myself of that. I tell myself to smile. I tell myself to open my eyes. I tell myself to, you know, to put my shoulders, drop my shoulders, you know, and enter from that place. And again, whether that's a physical space, an online space, an emotional space, whatever that is, I kind of do that, you know, just like when you see a fighter in a corner and their trainer is, you know, kind of sparring with them. I mentally spar to bring myself back into alignment. And that's something I have to do daily.
And this is amazing because, you know, it's so testament to, we have to really give people grace, you know, because if I see you, when I do see you online and this, any other, and you're so well put together, like always a wow look. Yeah. Actually, I want to talk about the wow look and how, like all of you, like all of this is less about the external. It's all about what's your inner flair that we now see, and how you kind of crafted that, because it is, you have a very unique style, which I love, but it's so testament to, you don't know what's going on the other side, right? Or what that person had to prepare. And I want to get into this book next, but let's just talk about your inner flair. Like when you think about the inner Nicole that puts herself together, gets herself ready to go on social media. How did you develop this style? Like, you know, maybe you can give tips to less about maybe your unique style, but what could other women do, especially if they're trying to get their groove? I hate to use the Stella got her groove back, but it's similar to you that, you know, I'm going through something where I'm, it's making me doubt myself. But like you, I have these tools. So what can women really do to establish this inner flair, especially when they're coming out of a very tough season?
Right. So everything seems to be in twos today. I'm like, two things come to mind. but first off, thank you so much for that compliment, because myself, like many of us, I think we don't feel like the person that other people are experiencing. I was like, oh, I gotta eat a flea. I gotta wear this turtleneck again.
But I'm looking at you, like everything from your hair, your glasses, the outfit, the earrings, like your smile, the lipstick. Like I'm looking at your decor. Like it's all of that, right? That's from within.
So
yeah.
I think two things come to mind. The first one is, and I think I've been living by this for decades, is, you know, and it's not mine. It's been said about, you know, dressing for the place you want to be in. Like when I think about the best of Nicole, what does she look like? What is she wearing? What is she, you know, how is she showing up? Right. So I think about that. And when I say the best version, I don't mean fashion. I just mean like, in here, because like you said, it's an in-here situation, right? My friends and I, we have this thing that we say, if you like it, I love it. If you believe it, I'm convinced, right? So and that's kind of how it works. I'm just like, hey, you look like, I'm not a fan of what you got going on, but you look like you all the way believe it, so I'm in. Like,
I'll own it with you.
So I think it's, so one, it's that piece of, you know, kind of dressing in the direction that you want to go. But I think while holding that, I think the other piece for me that I had to fall into, I'm not sure I'm sure if I thought about it more, I'd know how, but in this moment, I don't know particularly how I got there, but I'm in this era, if you want to call it, and I've been in this era for a while, of I'm going to wear whatever matches my mood. So when I adopted that, what it did was it took the pressure off of feeling like I have to look like I got to match, compete, be the cutest in the room, be like just whatever. Like it just, if I have to go somewhere, I'm honestly legit like, I really don't care what anyone else has on. This is a it's a jeans day for me. And so I feel best because I'm in, I gave myself permission to show up in alignment with, and when I say my mood, I don't mean that that means if we feel like crap. That
They're going to look like crap. I get what you're saying.
Just like, if my vibe is casual, like do that, like do that. Like if you're not that chick, like just do what's you, right? And so I think I've learned and I'm learning to just do what's me. And I'm happy to hear that it's working.
Okay, so now the moment I'm like so excited to get into, I want to get into the book. And it launched on April 9th, which I love. And so what, how are you feeling about the launch?
Nervous, okay. I think.
Yeah.
Excited, nervous. Because it's like go time, right? It's like some of your most vulnerable moments that you penned behind the safety of your laptop that someone gets to now just crack open, read, interpret, love or hate, you know, like, but I feel unburdened.
So know? can you take us, so one, how long has this project been? It's been about 3 years. Okay.
3 years. Yeah. Years in the making.
And who were, where were you in life when you decided to sit down and start to pen this book?
Yeah, I was just, so I was serving at my church. There was actually a speaker there and I was on duty to kind of serve and support, had never met them before. And while I was supporting them, they kind of paused in the middle of what they were doing. And they were just like, I need to pray for someone right now. And they hadn't met, like I was serving, but they hadn't met me. They didn't even know my name. And they're like, I need to pray for someone. And when I pray for this person, you know, it's going to mark the beginning of the great things that God will do with their life and with their ministry. And then he's like, I need to, the person I need to pray for is Nicole Salmon. He called me by my first and my last name 3 times. He's like, Nicole, like, you know, like, when someone's looking off, like they're reading a chalkboard, like they're getting a download. He's like, Nicole, and he said it 3 times and everyone's, because I'm going, I'm right here. And, you know, and, you know, he went on to talk about the fact that he's like, I see you. He's like, I see you writing books about, like writing books about purpose and many books on purpose. I see this desire in your heart to travel the nations and equip and empower women to like walk.
In I have this person in my life. Like what the?
Right. And so, you know, by then it's like, right. And it was a weird moment. Cause like the purpose, like he's using my language, right? He's talking about purpose. He's talking about the global call that I felt on my life since I was a kid. Like, and I can't say that. So I always romanticized being a published author. Like, you know, as a coach, I'm like, you're supposed to have books, you're told, right? So I'm just like, yeah, I want to have many books. But I never thought, I never wasn't committed to the process of writing these many books. I just kind of liked the idea of these many books, right? And that for that next year, like everywhere I went, I always I describe it in every conversation this way. It was like I owed God back rent. And it was like he was meeting me up in the oddest places, like he coming to collect. Like someone would come up to me and they'd be like, there's a book that you're supposed to be writing, aren't you? I'm like, I ain't even in the country. Like, who told you? How did you, like, you know, like everywhere I went, this theme of you need to be writing, where's the book? And that went on for about a year. God patiently pursued me. I was going to say Chase, but he patiently pursued me for about a year until I was like, okay, okay. It became so confrontational that I'm like, it felt like a hot potato. Like there was a hot potato in my hand. And I had to get it out of my hand quickly. And so I started writing. I knew of course it was going to be about purpose. I didn't know exactly what I was writing. I just knew that it was time for me to take everything that was in my head, all the downloads, all the experiences, all the methodologies and learnings and all the things. I just needed to get it out of my head. And I figured God can decide what he wants to do with it after that. And so I started writing, and I got about two or three chapters in when I was asked to speak at a conference, ironically, not so ironically, for women of color who are communicators. And a publisher sponsored the event. And so they made available spots to the speakers to either meet with the publisher or meet with the agent, depending on where you were in your writing journey. And so I met with an agent.
Of course it was a publisher that sponsored the event, right?
Like. Of course, of course. So I met with my now literary agent, Javon Bolden of Embolden Media Group. We met, I didn't even know what an agent was. I didn't know what they did. Didn't know why you had to have one.
Yeah.
You know, she asked me to submit a sample of my writing. I submitted what I had been working on. What was supposed to be like a 15-minute call ended up being almost an hour of us over Zoom. And she had actually been following me already. So she wasn't a stranger to my voice and to my work. And as they say, the rest is history. A month later, she signed me as a client. And the writing process began. It was not linear. There was a lot of adversity. I'm sure we're going to get into that. A lot of adversity, you know, but took about maybe a year and a half to complete. In that process, we pitched to, you know, a number of publishers and ended up Nav Press, who is the publisher of the popularized message Bible for those who are familiar with that. The book was acquired by them, by Nav Press. And here we are.
I love it. And really? I have to ask, because I want to talk about the title, the subtitle. In the process of writing, I always say commitment is staying true to what you said you're going to do long after the feeling which you said it has passed. And I can only imagine that you were lifing through that.
100%.
Can you talk us through how you stay committed to the process through that you have? Did you have a technique to do that?
I think I describe it this way. I say this in the book that purpose places a demand on what's inside of you. And so I think it was, there was just an internal demand. There was a horizontal demand and there was a vertical demand for the book. And so to be honest, when I started, it wasn't like I came out the gate all excited about, no, God was pursuing. He's just like, I need you to write a book. It wasn't even like I was like, dear God, can you please help me? No, thank you. Like, I do not love writing. I don't know.
I was actually going to ask you, like, do you journal? Do you love writing? Is this your?
Journal. I do journal for my peace of mind. I do journal for clarity. I do journal, but I don't love. So I love speaking. I love communicating. I love language, but writing, if I'm going to be completely transparent, it's a different
process. Discipline. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a different process. It's a different discipline than just getting up and opening your mouth and saying whatever, right? So I think it was necessary because I feel that God also used the writing process to help me fine-tune my speaking gift. One of the things that helped me out as a writer is, you know, understanding that the gift to speak wasn't just the speaking that comes through your mouth, but it's the speak your audible words, but my written words as well. And so when I was able to mentally marry the two, Mm-hmm. It got a little bit easier, but I wrestled with that throughout. Yeah. Like, I kept saying, I'm not a writer. I'm not a writer. That's what I was professing over myself, right? Yeah. So, of course, it was difficult because I kept, every time I had to write, I was like, I'm not a writer. I'm not a writer.
Yeah.
Until I, right here beside me, it's still here on in my office. I have some declarations mm-hmm. that the Lord gave me that as soon as I sit down, it's like the first thing I see, there is an anointing on your life, both in your spoken word and your written word. You both your spoken and your written word has the power to deliver and heal. Like I had like some powerful declaration. And so I needed that. Like I needed that because the part of me that had never done this before kept saying, I can't do this.
So I love to be fully transparent, and because there's going to be another episode, and I want to share this with you. You reached out to me, I think it was on Instagram, and you'd mentioned that you'd written a book and if you'd, it'd be okay to send it to me. And I was like, oh, yes. And at the time, I was in a very, I was in a season, like a really, you know, life is good. It was great.
Doing what it does best,
The day that it arrived in my mailbox, that season was completely behind me, and I was in a very different season. And I remember reading it, and the title says, Courage and Confidence, a bold guide to unboxing who you were created to be. And I think what I remember, because I remember opening it up, it was on my table, and I saw it, and what hit me in that moment was that this was going to be book that helps me in my next season as I start to create who I'm going to be in my next season, because I knew the season I was in had to end. So I'm in this new creation of this new season at this point in time. And so I want to read this book. I want to internalize it. I want to bring you back, and I want to share with you what it's going to do in my life and manifest, because I know it will from what I've already started reading. What I want to ask you today is, favorite chapter.
Okay. So I think it's chapter 3 or 4.
The box you've outgrown, the box you've created.
Is that the relationship? It's the relationship.
Unboxing your relationships.
Yeah. What chapter is that?
That's number three.
Chapter 3, which if you haven't read already, you'll read. I somewhere in there, I start out talking about the fact that it was the most difficult chapter. My most favorite chapter was the most difficult chapter to write. So yeah, that would be chapter 3.
And can I ask why? Was it because it's about all types of relationships?
All types of relationships, and not just the relationship we have with people, but the relationship we have with places, seasons of our lives that it's time to move on from, but we struggle with. And so, you know, it was, at the time, I didn't know, it just would not flow. I would skip it. Like, I'm a very linear person. So I hated the fact that I had to skip it and keep writing. Cause I'm like, no, you write 1 and then 2 and then 3, right? I'd skip it. I'd come back. And it just was like, ugh, it just, I couldn't write it. One day I'm sitting at my laptop and I literally, you'll read it word for word. I jump up from the, like, my, I stand, jump to my feet, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it was like, I knew what I had to do. There was a relationship to a place that I had that was a big part, wasn't, is a big part of the shaping and forming of my identity. It was a place and people who I call home, you know? And I was feeling an internal nudging to move on from that place. But because I liked the security and the familiarity of being where I called home, I hadn't made that shift. And so here I was trying to write a chapter about unboxing your relationships and, you know, and moving when God tells you to move. And I hadn't realized. And God was just like, listen, like, he was just like, listen, I've been asking you and I've been telling you it's time to move from this place. You cannot take people where you have not been. And I had unboxed and severed at different stages in my life, like cutting relationships and moving on from things wasn't a new concept to me. But in that moment, yeah. my obedience to that ask, chapter three was hinging on my obedience of that ask.
Wow.
And so I was like,
so it cleared.
It cleared it. And I went mm-hmm. like literally the same time I said to my husband, are you free? We need to go and have this conversation with these people and tell them we out. And like, that's the urgency I felt. And it was painful. It was everything I expected it to be. But when I got back and I sat, it was like
flow, ooh, the flow,
the yeah. floodgates, the mm-hmm. clarity, the power, mm-hmm. the honesty. It was just like, so mm-hmm. yeah.
Isn't
yeah,
there always something right? just niggling on our spirit? Like, I don't think we hear that when we're in the bustle of things. I think it's really, I think there's a constant nudging. Like I've yeah. definitely have recognized that God has knocked on my door on a number of things. And
yeah.
And the moment you realize it and you let it go, it's like this release. I remember one time I was listening to, I think it was T.D. Jakes, and he talked about when you're feeling this sense, I think we're always supposed to feel inner peace. Like that, I think our natural mm-hmm. state is this state of inner peace.
It's rest.
Mm-hmm. He says, when you're feeling like something's calling you, but you feel like you're holding back, he says, you have to find your Jonah.
Mm.
And when you find your Jonah,
throw it over.
Throw it over.
Throw it overboard.
Throw it overboard. Yeah. There's natural flow that comes to life. Wow.
And I love that word you talk about, that bustling, because mm-hmm. that's what unboxing is, right? It's an invitation to sit long enough with yourself and with Holy Spirit to hear the things, see the things, unpack the things, because life is, it's just going like so rapidly, right? And we don't realize how much on a daily basis, and even I would dare to say moment by moment, it is almost in the same way we don't see the Earth's rotation. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's how life is pulling us out of alignment. Pulling a little bit every day, we were moving away from our core, right? And so unboxing is the invitation to come back in alignment, sit with these different key areas of our life, and really go, okay, well, how did this get in here? Well, this don't go in this pile. Oh, that was here. I need that. I'm keeping that, right?
So yeah, I also find your book is written in a way you kind of talked about in terms of your process. It is actually written in a way that once you get through it, you can actually go back and reference certain, like it's almost like a reference. Like I kind of noted that from the table of contents, so much so that it took me one of the first pages I opened up to. So I'm a gratitude girl. I write in my gratitude okay. journal yeah. every single day. Yeah. And you talk about gratitude that's informed from guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was chapter three. That was in chapter three too.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm like, yes.
How is gratitude informed from guilt?
Yeah. Again, we sometimes stay locked into people and places longer than we should be.
Yeah.
And we convince ourselves that because we are grateful to either who they've been to us or what they've done to us, you know, like, and so we're staying out of gratitude, right? But really, you know, there are some indicators and some flags that our perceived gratitude might actually be guilt informed, right? So I'd be happy to share some of them with you.
Yeah, it's in great. Chapter three.
So,
let's go.
Do you want to find yeah. it? Do you want to read it or you want me to go?
Yeah, I'm looking for chapter three. So 53. I remember there was a table. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So it says guilt or gratitude. Here are five red flags mm-hmm. that your gratitude may in fact be informed. Guilt informed. I love that. Guilt informed. How to detect if you're motivated by guilt or gratitude. Guilt says, I owe you. Gratitude says, I appreciate you. Oh. So I'm trying to translate this into something very tangible as I write in mm-hmm. my gratitude journal. So if I say, mm-hmm. I appreciate X. Mm-hmm. There's another question that I have to ask. Is that appreciation absent of anything that I feel I owe for that? Is that?
I think the ability to say I appreciate indicates that you are speaking from a gratitude.
Okay. Right? Okay.
Because it's like I appreciate has a period at the end of it, mm-hmm. right? Like I appreciate, thank you, so long.
Yes.
Versus I owe you has a comma. Mm. This hanging. It, because now if I owe you, I got to hang around to repay you.
To pay you.
And appease oh. you mm. and all of the things, right?
Okay, I like that. Mm-hmm. Another one. I have to. Mm-hmm. That's what guilt says. Guilt says I have to. Gratitude mm-hmm. says I'm happy to.
Mm-hmm. So if you've ever been invited to go somewhere.
Yeah. Yes, right? You have to. Yes, right.
Yeah, that feeling of I mm-hmm. have to be there yeah. versus I'm happy to be here.
Yeah,
I get
yeah. It could be the FOMO. It could be. Could FOMO play into that a bit?
It could be, but I think specifically here, what we're getting at is what we think is the indebtedness part, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. What we think is owed to the individual or the place on the other side of our action.
Right. It's almost like yeah. you feel like you wouldn't be given grace.
Right.
If you didn't show up.
And don't deserve it.
And don't deserve grace. Ah, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. How to do, okay, so this one also, guilt says they will be mad. Mm-hmm. They will understand. I think that that's important, right? Like, yeah. Yeah. Guilt says I should. Mm-hmm. Gratitude says I get to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look what we get to do.
Yeah. Joy.
Yeah. And then guilt says, this is a big one for me. Whew. I don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. And then gratitude says, thank you.
Just thank you. Just thank you. Yeah. Guilt keeps us tethered. Gratitude gives us the grace and yeah. the relief to keep it moving.
An abundance. Mm-hmm. An abundance. Guilt, I think, like as I'm thinking about this, it's like it's that angst. You feel it in your belly almost. Like I yeah. feel I carry it in my belly.
Yeah, we do carry yeah. it in our bodies, 100%.
Wow, wisdom, girl. This book must it takes something from you, eh?
Yeah, there's a lot of affliction to yeah. write this.
Mm-hmm. So I want to get into Rapid Thrivers, but you know, just as a, maybe just on this, because like I said, I do really want to take this in. I want to be a woman who heals. Right. And so I think that that's an outcome of unboxing again. And it's funny because I always say I've unboxed. I read a book called A Return to Love in 2014 that informed my personal development journey then. And so this is probably the one that's going to inform this season of life. And there is something about reaching in and I called it at the time ripping out the pain, the shame, the looking at it, exposing it to light, throwing empathy. Like I almost feel like this is that going to be that process for me. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's also pulling out the treasure, right?
Mm-hmm. Like okay, as well, right? Yeah, yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Pulling out and identifying the treasure, I feel so honored and blessed that you refer to it. That you said, you know, it feels like a resource because that is exactly the place that I wrote it from. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not one of those follow these 10 steps, do them, live your best life. But no, I want it to be weathered. Like, mm-hmm. I want it to be. Sticky notes and flags mm-hmm. and underlines and the and spine shared, falling out
and shared yeah. and taught and used to teach right like yeah, I truly believe I will teach from your I will teach from oh, your book
awesome
I will teach
awesome.
From your book yeah it'll inform things and empower to my skin for sure mm. yeah and so you know what I've probably answered my next question because I was going to say for like the listeners what is like one big thing you'd love them to be able to take away and I think that that answers that right that they're able to continue to go back and reuse the teaching and then teach others from it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Woo. I love it. So in this stage of life, we're going to go into Rapid Thrivers. We'd love to know when you think of someone who inspires you, who comes first to mind.
When I think of someone who inspires me.
Yeah.
Who's inspiring me right now? it's like a whole network. It's just a network of people. So the first name that came to mind for me is Dr. Sarita Lyons. Her book is actually releasing in May as well, I believe. Yeah. And she, I say there's a network of them because they all do a work around apologetics. So defending, teaching and defending the Bible. And so I think people like Dr. Sarita, I think of people like Pastor Eric Mason, Jackie Hill Perry. Like there's a network of them right now that are like deep into like, yeah, we're just out here to just
really teach,
preach the word, teach the word. Yeah. And I'm excited about that.
I think, no assumption. What is a daily activity that really helps you be empowered and thrive?
Journaling.
Okay.
Journaling, that's been big for someone who didn't enjoy writing. One of my clients actually produced a daily journal that I use. It's called Faith Walker, I think. It's on Amazon. But I sit and I'm surprised at how much time I spend just sitting and going through my thoughts, and it really helps to position. Yeah, there's prompts. Okay. Yeah, there's a number of different prompts. There's a scripture. There's yeah, very, very, very integral to repositioning me daily.
Okay, you named a number of authors or upcoming authors. What's a book that's helped you with your thrive?
The One Thing. I think we
talked.
The One Thing by Gary Keller. Is it?
Yes. Yeah.
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 The One Thing, and also. More recently, the author's name slips me, but it's called The Ache for Meaning.
The Ache for Meaning. Oh, okay.
So good.
Lots of people are doing that, especially coming out of a pandemic. There's a yearning that people have that.
Yes.
There's the search for meaning. Do you think we overcomplicate it?
100%. I talk about it. There's a whole chapter about that. There's a whole chapter about that.
Okay.
We complicate it. I think we like it complicated. We definitely overcomplicate.
We overcomplicate. And you help us simplify it in this book? 100%. Can't wait. Okay. What is an app that helps you with your thrive?
What is an app that helps me with my thrive? As I look at my phone, I'm like, what do I go to?
Okay, well, I like your Instagram.
So this may seem so not connected, but it is. It's the plant app, the Plant Parent app.
Okay. The Plant Parent?
Plant Parent.
Plant app. Parent. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so the reason why I share that one, it's not something that clearly like anyone can use if you don't have but I say it's helpful because during the pandemic, I became a plant mom. I was never a plant person.
Oh, like a real plant.
Like plants. Okay. Yeah, like physical plants. Yeah. Okay.
Does it tell you to water your plant?
It tells me to water.
Why didn't you tell me about this? I just killed a damn plant that got us a gift.
And if the light, it measures the light that it's getting. But
really?
It's not so much the app, but it's just what it signifies in terms of me having an outlet.
Yeah.
That, that's something.
Nurturing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something that it really keeps me connected to that nurturer, softer, life-giving part of me. It's a big part of
me. Okay. I had no clue. That's interesting. I'm going to check it out. I might have to share with my girlfriend that loves plants. I don't know if she knows about it, but I love that. So, Nicole, you're a coach, pastor, I've named off, rhymed off. Now you're an author of an amazing book that I believe took a lot out of you to write and now share. What is one misconception that people have of you as you're lifing and going through all these and exposing yourself and putting yourself out there like you do?
I think that one of the biggest misconceptions is if I look like I'm doing well, it's just because I somehow have all the tools and the packaging, but you can say anything. You could do it because you're just good at speaking, or you're good with writing. Oh, but you like, no, Like, I think it's yes and. Right. I work my butt off. None of this comes in easy. And I talked about this in your program, the difference between ease and easy.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And so there's an ease when I operate in my created identity, but it's not easy. Right. And I would say that's the biggest misconception, that somehow I'm just living this easy, effortless life.
Yeah, I can identify with that.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me that language. That's good. That's good. So where do we find more of you? Get your book. Maybe get it signed. Do you have any appearances? We're April 18th. So do you have any appearances coming up in local?
Yeah, actually,
we're in Toronto.
April, yeah. So I am just getting ready to wrap up a 2-city launch of the book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and we did Atlanta on April 9th, the actual release day. And so I'm actually just getting back from that. I was in North Carolina and then Waycross. And so I call it the homecoming. So April 20th is the homecoming.
Okay.
For the launch of Courage and Confidence. So if you are in the greater Toronto area, it's free to VIP. So, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. You know, get your book online on Amazon or anywhere books are sold, or come on out to the launch event and get your copy in person and get it signed.
I
and
love it.
Let's meet each other and celebrate.
I love it. And where do we and find you online?
Yeah. So you can find me at my website, Nicole O. Don't forget the letter O, Nicole O Salmon, spelled just like the fish.com. And you can find me on all social media platforms at Nicole O Salmon. I always say I vacation on Facebook, but I live on Instagram.
I love it. I love it. Wow. This has been great. I have one parting question for you. This podcast is called Empowered on My Skin, and would love to know what that means to you.
I think the word empower might be the one that sticks out for most, but I think for me, that statement of your skin, and that's what it means to me, is, like I said earlier, is your skin. What does your skin look like? And that will bring empowerment.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Such an enriching conversation. I know we prayed before, and I think it was enriching. It's far reaching. I always say I'm never after this, like this direct connection. It's through this mechanism, this platform that we get to touch. And this one is no exception. Its empowerment will have no bounds. So thank you so much, Nicole. Thank you everyone for listening. Mm-hmm. And this is the point where I say we're out. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it. I trust you are feeling more empowered in your skin. As the late Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you get, you give, when you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at EIMS if you would share this episode and tag us, or teach an insight that you took from today's episode on your socials and tag us. Feel free to leave us a review over at iTunes and follow us on social media at Empowered in My Skin. Finally, remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. See you soon.